Tonight, encouraged my heart already. If we could just go home now, I'd say, boy, I tell you, I got something already tonight. Thank you for that. Appreciate you singing. I know there's not many of us, but all the best singers here tonight. All the rest, they can't sing anyway. And so we're all best singers are here tonight. So, amen. Just think when you get to heaven, you'll be the leader in the choir. Never been asked to be part of a choir, have y'all? Nobody else asked y'all? I've never been asked to be part of the choir either. Oh, bragging about stuff. About being part of the choir. Amen. It's good to see y'all tonight. Let's read Psalms 119. And we'll start in verse 153 tonight. Psalms 153. So if you feel led to read tonight out loud, you sure can do that. With us, just come and get in line, and you'll be welcome to do so. Again, these are set up into, we see that there's a 1, 2, 3. Perfect. All right, my brother, you come and start us out. This is the end of our Psalm 119 here tonight.
Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Yes, amen.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee.
Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. 1 John chapter 2 tonight, as we've been preaching through 1 John. And we're going to, hopefully with the help of the Lord, continue that tonight. And we'll be beginning in verse 12. And we'll go down to verse 14 here tonight in the preaching of the Word of God tonight. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God tonight as it has been read, Psalms 119. And Lord, we are grateful the last few weeks that we have read the whole chapter. And God, so many truths and so many nuggets and so much help, God, that you brought to our hearts through just that one psalm. And so, God, we're asking tonight, Lord, that you'd touch us. God, you'd move again in 1 John in our lives. And God, that you'd bring the attention to what's necessary. And God, you'd help us to be attentive to your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to put aside all of the cares and burdens of life. God, all the things today that may distract us or, God, that may draw our attention. I pray, Father, somehow that we will block those things out. And God, pay much attention to the Word of God. Again, I thank you tonight, Lord, that you give us a Bible. God, you give us a place and you give us a time. God, you give us opportunity tonight to open up the Scripture and hear the Word of God. Father, to be around your people tonight, the fellowship that we endure and that we enjoy. God, give us help tonight through your word. Father, I know that we're just people. I know we're just flesh. I know, God, that if we're left alone, we would just go astray. I know today, dear God, that we fail and we fall. And I know today, dear God, that we just need the help of the Lord and the hand of God. And so we pray, Father, that you look upon us and breathe on us tonight. God, do something special in this service. God, we need the help from the Lord. In Christ's name, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. Before we get going, I want to say on the back table there is a piece of paper that has, it says mission board, and it has lines there. If you want to be part of the mission board this year, you sign up there, and then we will have a meeting and discuss the things that we like to discuss about missionaries and want you to be part of that discussion. Also, this month is the book of Jude, the book of Jude. And so we've been reading that every day. And so those who haven't read it every day, we are at, day 12? So if you read it twice a day, you can catch up. All right? So I encourage you to do that. If you haven't been reading it, so twice a day, and you'll be perfectly fine by the end of the month. All right? And then February the 1st, I know we start on 27th, but we're going to go back to the 1st, and February the 1st, and we'll start reading another chapter. By the end of the year, we'll have read 12 books of the Bible. My, that'd be something, wouldn't it? I don't know if we ever did that before, but I know we're going to do it this year. Please participate. The whole thought behind that is the saturation of God. We want God to saturate us with Him and His presence. We understand and know that the Word of God is what sanctifies us and cleanses us by the water of the Word. And my, don't we need that. Amen? And so we pray that you do that as well. Here in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 12 through 14. If you notice there, right off the bat, it's kind of noticeable. He says in verse 12, I write unto you. Verse 13, I write unto you. He says that again in verse 13, I write unto you. Then I write unto you. Then verse 14, he says, I have written unto you. And so there he is, I'm writing unto you now. And then I have written unto you, that's past tense, and so there's some things I have written unto you. And so he's writing the 1 John for this group of people. That's what he's writing it for. He's not writing it for the lost. He's not writing it for the world. He's not writing it for the intellectual. He's not writing it for religious. He's writing it for these people. Now, I notice there's four categories or four people that he's speaking to here. And he's speaking to these four categories. And I want to take it from the perspective of growing up. Real Christians tonight are those that are alive tonight in Christ grow. Right? And so we also know that everything that has life grows. The evidence of life is growth. Right? I would think that we'd all agree with that. Anything that's living, anything that has life, will have growth with it. Amen? And so, tonight, that's kind of what his whole thought is, John's thought is. Because when you get to chapter 2, verse 15, he's going to start talking about the world. And boy, he kind of sets this as an introduction, or maybe as something that will prepare you for verse 15 and down through 17. And so we find tonight in these verses that a evidence of life is growth. And we're going to see that there. And then not only that, but a normal expectancy is growing. Right? I mean, when you have children, it's just normal to expect that they grow. Right? And so, if you have plants, if you have pets, if you have anything else tonight that might be forth of growth or planting or growing, when you see growth, you expect it to grow, right? I mean, everything that we have that has life, that we will plant, that we will seed, that we will see birth of, we expect it to grow, right? Even that's even sort of like in your financial world, right? You make an investment and you expect it to grow. You'll find that, that in the business world, you have a business and you don't go into business, okay, I don't want to grow. No, you find a business and you find growth. So the expectancy is growth. To be normal is growth. But the opposite of that is this, is abnormal is not growing. Alright? So where there's life, there's growth. The normal expectancy of life is growing, but the abnormality of that is not growing. Amen? And so, tonight, with that being said, let's just see what God has to say about growing. Because that's what the subject is tonight. But the message is growing in the Lord. And I want to encourage you to grow in the Lord. So what does God say about growing? Well, turn our Bibles here quickly to Psalms 92. And we'll come back here to 1 John. Psalms 92. And let's just look at God's Word and see what He has to say concerning this thing about growth. Is it biblical? Is it scriptural? Is it what God wants us to do and be? And or does He want us to not grow? Does He want us to stay stunted in growth? What does He want? Because that's what matters tonight is what God wants. So Psalms 92 and verse 12 says, "The righteous shall flourish." Well, that's part of growth. "Like the palm tree, he shall grow," there's that word, "like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish," there's growth again, "in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit of in old age," that's growing still. And he says, "they shall be fat and flourishing, and to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteous in him." So we find that's the normal Christian life, flourishing, growth, fruit, amen, fat, flourishing. So that's just what God would expect, God would say to us tonight, I expect you to grow. That would be the God's mindset, that would be God's word to us tonight, grow, grow. Now look tonight in Ephesians chapter 4 and in the New Testament. And we'll see exactly what the Lord would expect us in that as well. So Ephesians chapter 4 and look in verse 14. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so he's talking about children. And so he just says children get tossed to and fro, right? They get pushed around. They seem to be the least of strength. They seem to be the ones that has to just kind of endure all of the fallacies and the faults and failures of the family. And it seems like here tonight, he's talking about the children getting tossed to and fro. And he's talking about that there'll be no more after the children to be tossed around any longer. So, growth. Talking about growth here. We're talking about there in Ephesians chapter 2. And look there in verse about 19. It says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together," there's that word again, "groweth unto the and holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together in the habitation of God through the Spirit." So there's growth again. Growth that you don't get tossed around. Growth that you go into the holy temple of the Lord. Growth that you'd flourish and be fat and bear fruit. Growth. So all these terms is what God would expect. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And so we find again a scripture that's telling us to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so there's a scripture that teaches us to grow as babes, and here's a teacher teaches us grows in the grace and in the knowledge as we grow. Amen. And so we find growth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says that your faith groweth exceedingly. And so now we're talking about tonight not a physical growth, but a spiritual growth. And that's what we're talking about tonight. You ever live, did you live in a home that they had your children would go behind a closet door and open the door and they stand there and you mark them with a marker? And you put the date and you put the name, and then the next year comes back and we stand there a little taller and you just keep on marking. They keep on growing, right? And you keep on marking. And so you could see that growth. Amen. And so tonight, I want to preach out of the scripture here and let John himself tonight kind of tell us the marks, right? The marks. He's going to be sort of the father tonight, and we're going to be the children tonight. And he's going to put marks behind that closet door. And by the end of the night tonight, we can look behind that closet door and see, hey, where we really are as far as growth tonight. And so let's look at this. There's four stages that I noticed tonight in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, little children, in verse 12 is the first stage. And then in verse 13, it talks about young men is the second stage. The fathers is the third stage. And then in chapter 13, at the very bottom, it says little children. Again, that's the fourth that we're going to talk about tonight. And so you have four stages and that we need to kind of bring examination to our lives and see what stage that we're in. What stage can we say, that's where I'm at? And so let's look at number one, the baby stage. The baby stage. There in verse 12, the Bible says, "I write unto you little children." Now that word little children there is a different word than in chapter 13 at the bottom where it says, "I write unto you little children." Same English word, little children, but different Greek word, different Greek meaning. And so we're going to have to make sure we understand that. The one here in verse 12 where it says, "I have write unto you little children," it means born ones. It means to birth. It means to bring into existence. And so what John is saying to us tonight, "I'm writing unto you that have been born again, that have been born of God, that you've been birthed, into existence." Three things I want you to notice about this baby stage. This baby stage, all, every one of us in this room, if you're saved and been born again, is through this stage. Every one of us tonight, little children. That's what we are. Amen? That's what we will always be, is that. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this. I'll read it to you. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, that which liveth and abideth forever." Being born again. Now, in 1 John itself, he uses that term born all over the place. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. He says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which that doeth righteousness is born of him." That's that word, born. We find it in chapter 3 as well, in verse 9. Chapter 3, in verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God." There's that same term. We find it in chapter 4, in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God." There's that same baby stage. We find chapter 5, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God." Chapter 5, verse 4, "Whosoever is born of God." Chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God. And so those, that term, that born of God, born again, is this stage in which we're speaking of, the baby stage. Every single one of us tonight has been in this stage. If you've been born again. So you are little children, according to what John is saying. He said, I'll write unto you. Everything that I'm about to write in these five chapters of John is to you. I'm writing unto you. And then he goes and says, not only is all this through this stage, but all is in this stage. In other words, he says in chapter 2, verse 12, back into our text here, he says, I write unto you, little children, that's born ones, because your sins are forgiven you. See, all is in this stage because all has had our sins forgiven. That's what brought us to being born again. Our sins are forgiven. It says here in verse 12, it says, because your sins. It's personal. Each one of us tonight is born of God, but we're born of God personally. I can't be born of God for you. I can't be born of God for my children. I can't be born of God for my spouse. You can't be born again for anyone else tonight. Nobody else can be born again of you. A lot of people run on the coattails of mama and daddy and grandpa and grandpa. Oh, they went to the church forever. Oh, my mom and daddy, they know the Word of God. I mean, this, that, and the other tonight. Listen, you got to have your own personal birth. Amen? And tonight, and that's what he's saying. Oh, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. So it's a personal note tonight, and not too, but it's a powerful note because he says your sins, plural. Plural. It's powerful tonight because there's many sins, not just one sin. See, when you got saved and born again, your sins of the past was forgiven. Your sins of the present was forgiven, and your sins of the future were forgiven at the day of being born again. Amen? Hallelujah! But we could say that our relationship with God is a personal relationship because it was your sin, my sin. He didn't die. He died for all sins, but you know, because He died for all sins don't make me saved. But when He died for my sin, and I became born again because He gave me forgiveness. It gave me new life. Amen? And so He died for the sins of the whole world. But that don't save me. It only saves me when He dies for my sin. And so we find tonight in this thought that all is in this stage because all has had a personal relationship by being born again. And all is powerful because our sins were many, but our sins were great. Amen? I mean, listen, tonight, we can go around the room here and say, okay, what was your sin? And you can give me a sin and your sin and your sin and your sin. And we can do this all night until Sunday. Because our sins are great. Our sins are many. And there'll be all kinds in here tonight. There'll be all kinds of things. Hey, some things that we'll be told, it would be shocking to us. Amen? If some things tonight that would have been said and that we would know of you, oh, how embarrassing and shameful that it would be. We don't want nobody to know about our sins, do we? We don't want nobody to know how we used to live and how we lived. And we don't want anybody to know how that all took place. But we can tell you this tonight, that if you're born of God, little children, you can know that your sins are forgiven. The great sins, the many sins, the little sins, all sins, forever sins, and ever sins will all be under the blood. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's a permanent, amen? Not only powerful and personal, but it's permanent. We find forgiven. He says there in that verse 12, because your sins are forgiven. I mean, that's just permanent. I mean, the penalty of sin is forgiven. The very regret of sin is forgiven. The very shame is forgiven. The very guilt is forgiven. I would say when you get forgiven tonight, all of shame and guilt and regret and penalty tonight and power of that sin, and someday, one day, the presence of sin will be all gone. You have been pardoned from your sin. You've been forgiven from your sin. It is all taken away, all washed in the blood of the Lamb. Never be brought up again. Never be mentioned again. Oh, God said some things like this, is to take your sins and cast them as far as the east is to the west, to be remembered and no more. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God tonight. that the devil may just kind of get on your shoulder and say, you're just a sinner. You know what you've done. Hey, but friend, you can tell him that, yeah, I am a sinner. And yeah, I know what I've done. Oh, but they're in the blood of the Lamb. And my God, the judge has now said, I remember them no more. And I could say to you tonight, you ought to shout with all the shout you've got within you to know that you and I can be little children. And being little children tonight, we can know that all of us go through the stage of being born again. And all of us is in this stage because we have a personal relationship, a powerful blood, and it's a permanent tonight. Oh, thank God. I tell you thirdly here tonight, all is come to this stage. He says, for His name's sake. You see, tonight, you might be born again, and if you are born again tonight, then He wrote this book for you. But being born again tonight is not only tonight something that you can be grateful for, and we ought to be, but being born again tonight is because your sins have been forgiven for His sake. See, it was because of His blood. It wasn't your prayer. Now get this tonight. You didn't pray your way into heaven. Show me that in the Bible where you pray your way into heaven. You didn't do that. You didn't seek your way into heaven. You didn't call your way into heaven. You didn't do your way into heaven. You didn't get wet into heaven. You didn't join into heaven. You didn't do... I mean, tonight, you know why you even get born again tonight? You get born again because your sins are forgiven. Just to make it simple tonight. But your sins are forgiven only because of His sake. It was His blood. Amen? It was His blood that made the atonement so that your sins can be forgiven. It's not for His blood, but it was for His body. It was His body that sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. It was His body that took the bruising. It was His blood that took the beating. I mean, His body that took the bleating. It was His body, friend, that found that He was the one tonight that was on the cross of Calvary. And He was the Lamb of God, and He was a body prepared by God so that He could become sin who knew no sin, so that you and I can become the righteousness of Christ. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! I mean, friend, listen. It was because of Jesus' sake. It was His name's sake. It was for His blood. It was because of His body, but it was because of His blessing. Amen? I mean, for His glory. For His honor, for His praise. Friend, listen, we got nothing to boast over tonight. We've got nothing to blow our horn over tonight. We got nothing tonight to say, hey, listen, what I did, look what I am, look what I've achieved, look what I became. You became nothing. It was Jesus for His sake that He even forgave you of your sins. Thank God that all of us can go through the baby stage. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, John, for letting us know how much of a baby we are. Psalms chapter 23, verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Would you say that's good? Let me read that again. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Isn't that good? But you know what the last part of that says? For His name's sake. He leadeth me. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. For the restoration of my soul. He leadeth me into the path of righteousness. I can never get to the path of righteousness. I can never get to the path of holiness. I could never get to the path of godliness. I could never find it. Not at all. But how did I find it? For His name's sake. For His glory. For His honor. For His blood. For His body. For His blessing. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Psalms 23:3. We find in Psalms 106:8 says this, nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. Why in the world would He save them? For His name's sake. Why did you get saved? For His name's sake. Why are you saved? For His name's sake. That's why when you really truly get born again and saved by the blood of the Lamb tonight, it's going to be because His name's sake. That's why when we preach the Word of God, it's His name's sake. That's why when we sing the songs, it's His name's sake. That's why we pray in His name's sake. And friend, we live a life in His name's sake. Why does Jesus always get the glory? Because it's in His name's sake tonight. His name's sake. I'm so glad tonight it's not in your name's sake or in my name's sake or in somebody who thinks they're famous name's sake. It's in His name's sake. That's, I tell you, that's the stage tonight that all is for all Christians. I guess the question would be tonight before we get to the next stage is, have you ever been a newborn babe in Christ? If you've never been there, then this book's not for you. He's not writing unto you. He's only writing to those who've been born as babes. Amen. And so tonight, do you remember the day that you were born? Do you remember the day that you became a newborn babe in Christ? Do you remember that? Do you remember the day that you became a new creature in Christ Jesus? You remember the day when your sins were forgiven? You remember the day when God changed your heart and changed your life? Do you remember the day that you had a love for Jesus like you never had before? Do you remember the day when all the burdens and the cares of life, of all the sin and all the iniquity and all the transgression and all of the depravity that you've done and the vice that was in your life and the ugliness and the smell of who you were and what you were was now all clean? You remember that day? Yeah. What a day. That's the baby stage. You better thank God for the baby stage. Number two, I notice there's the growing stage. Not only the baby stage, but the growing stage. Now he says this in verse 13. He moves up a little bit there. He says, about the middle of that verse, he says, I write unto you, young men. This is the growing stage now. He says in verse 14, he says, I write about the middle of that verse, I write unto you, young men. So he writes, he says, I write unto you, then I have written unto you. So we find this is the growing stage. Now, in verse 14, he gives us 3 points that will describe a strong man or a strong woman or just a growing Christian. Number one, he uses the word strong. He said, because you are strong in verse 14. And so tonight we find that you come from this baby stage and you come into a growing stage. Now, we don't know. We could put maybe a time on that, but we're not, because we don't know. We could put an age on that, but we don't know either. There are some people who got saved early in life, and they've been saved for some time tonight, and they would be the growing. But there might be some people tonight that's been saved for a long time, and they're not in that growing stage. This is not them, because they're not strong. You see, in growing tonight, you find strength. We could do that all. We could go all through everything that we know that grows, and you'll find its strength. Right? It just gets strength. The babies grow; they get stronger. Trees grow; they get stronger. Animals grow; they get stronger. Fruit, vegetables grow; they get stronger. And we find here tonight, in a spiritual sense tonight, that the growing stage is one who's strong. That word "strong" there means mighty. It means forcible. It means powerful. 3 things tonight that is in the growing stage is one that's strong, but that means that they're sound. They're sound. That tonight they're sound in faith, they're sound in walk, they're sound in conversation, they're sound in life. It also means tonight that they are stable, strong, stable. They're not double-minded. They're not wobbly. They're not here, to and there. They're not like little jumping jacks. They're not moving left to the right. They're not going backward or forward. They're not coming up and down. They're just stable. They're just balanced. They're just even. Amen? That's strong. That's strong. So the growing stage is when the strong is stable and the strong is sound, but the strong is secure. So the one that's strong is not doubting of anything. They're not worried about nothing. They're in a secure place. They're in a stable place. They're in a sound place. They're just strong. And friend, when you find somebody in this growing stage, you're going to find them strong. And you're going to look at them and you're going to say, boy, them people out there are strong. Now, they might have known the Lord for a year. They might now have known the Lord for 50 years. Time is not involved here. But what is involved is what you see and what you know. And they're stable. they're secure and they are sound. The Bible says that one is in growing stage. He's strong. They're strong. Number two, not only do I notice that the growing stage is strong, but the growing stage is spiritual. Spiritual. Look here in that second thing. It says, and the Word of God abideth in you. The Word of God abideth in you. The Word of God abideth in you. Now these are important words tonight. That means spiritual. You can't get spiritual unless the Word of God abideth in you. We've been trying to do that for the last several months, is take the Word of God and to read it, amen? And to every single day for a month, for the whole month, to read the same passage over and over and over and over and over and over. And so that we would take that Word and have to get in us in order for us to abide. Right? And so we find the word abide means this tonight. It means to dwell. It means to remain. It means to continue, and it means to endure. So what it's saying is this, is the growing stage is one who has the Word of God and they are abiding in it. They are continuing in it. They're enduring in it. They're remaining in it. They're indwelling in it. Now, in other words, they hear the Holy Scriptures. So they position themselves to the place where they hear the Holy Scriptures. These are growing stage. If the Scriptures are being preached on Wednesday night, they make sure they're here. If the preaching is on Sunday morning, Sunday school, the teaching of the Holy Scriptures, they're going to position themselves to make it. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, these are growing stages. Every time and any time there's an opportunity to take the Word of God and hear it, whether it's them reading it to themselves in the evening, in the morning, at lunchtime, or listening to it on the radio, or putting in some CD, or having something go to a revival, a mission conference, or whatever tonight, any time and every time, there is the Word of God they're going to dwell in, remain in, continue in, and endure in. It's going to abide in them. They're going to have to hear it. So that's a growing stage. But not only do they hear it, but they heed. They heed it. What they hear, they receive. And when they receive it, they heed it. They say, yes, this is the Word of God, and it's going to dwell in me. It's going to continue in me. It's going to endure in me. See, this is the growing stage. They become spiritual, right? Because the Word of God is in them. And the Word of God comes out of them. The Word of God flows in the ear passageway and comes out through the feet, the hands, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, and life. Right? And it abideth in them. They become spiritual because they're obedient to God's Word. They become spiritual because they are taking God's Word and submitting to it and yielding to it. They become holy. Right? They begin to live a holy life because of this abiding of the Word of God in them. They hear it, they heed to it, and then they hold to it. Hear it, heed, hold. Holding means they don't let it go. That's the Word of God. Man, listen, I'm going to come to the house of God on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm going to come to God's house on Sunday school, and I'm going to take God's Word, and I'm going to hear it, I'm going to receive it, I'm going to indwell it, and I'm going to heed to it, and I'm going to hold it. And man, that's going to make it spiritual. I mean, we're talking about the stages here. So you have the baby stage, and you have here tonight the very growing stage. And the growing stage is strong. The growing stage is spiritual. Then thirdly tonight, the growing stage that we could say is succeeds. Well, how do you know that? Well, look in verse 14. It says, and you have overcome the wicked one. See, those that are growing, those are in this stage, are those that are overcoming the devil. They're overcoming the wicked one. They've overcome. They didn't say that they're trying to overcome them. It doesn't say that they have really fought a good fight and they just keep falling. It don't say that, does it? What does it say? Ye have overcome the evil one. Past tense. In other words, this one who's in the growing stage is one that's just constantly having victory over the devil, constantly having victory over addictions, constantly having victory over habits, constantly having victory over temptations and things of life and the people and things and this and that and other, even feelings, even emotions. You'll find tonight that this individual who's in the growing stage is overcoming the wicked one. Now, that word overcome means prevail. It means to have victory. It means tonight to subdue. It means to win. And so the growing stage of the individual tonight that John is speaking to is the one who's strong and spiritual and succeeds, and he wins against the devil every time. The devil loses in this one of a growing stage. The devil doesn't get victory. The devil doesn't win. The cigarette doesn't win. The alcohol doesn't win. Pornography doesn't win. Doubts doesn't win. Jealousy doesn't win. Lies doesn't win. Life for God and the Lord Jesus Christ wins. That's the growing stage. Amen? Strong, spiritual, succeed. Amen? This stage is not where all Christians are. Not everybody's in this stage. Everybody's in the baby stage. But not everybody's in this stage. I still know people today who's been saved a long time who cannot get out of the baby stage. They're not strong. They're weak. They're not spiritual. They're carnal. And they don't succeed. There's addictions in their lives. There's habits in their lives. There's doubts and unforgiveness and bitterness in their lives. And they just can't get any further. They're not in this stage. They're not in the growing stage. They're in the baby stage, but they're not in the growing stage. Amen? Have you grown to this stage? Can you honestly tonight, as you look on the back of that closet door, as John is marking, boom, baby stage, he was right there. Now has he marked the other growing stage? Has he marked that for you tonight? So we find the third stage. The third stage is called the mature stage. Baby stage, we find tonight the growing stage, and then the mature stage, fathers. We find that in verse 13. He says, I write unto you, fathers. He writes it again in verse 14. He says, unto you, fathers. So we find tonight, what does that mean? He's talking about a spiritual father. Right? So turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul clears this up really well, along with John here. So the fathers tonight would be the mature stage. You can't get no mature than that. That's the height. That ought to be the very goal of each one of us tonight, is to get out of the growing stage, get out of the baby stage, get into the growing stage, and then end in the father stage. That's the process here. The father stage. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons. You see, Paul is a father. Never been married, but he has children. See, a spiritual father tonight, and it's not a father in being a man tonight. Don't put that in that. You could be a woman and be a father, okay, in this sense here. He's not talking about that. He's not saying this is a gender. This is a sex. Okay? This is spiritual growth. And then after spiritual growth comes to the maturity. So when you come to maturity, you become now, let's just say, a parent. He uses the word father here. So now we find that those who have come to the maturity, to the highest place with God, they will have spiritual children. Because he says sons. In other words, those who have come through the baby stage They have went through the growing stage, and now they're through mature stage. They will have spiritual children. They would have led them, somebody, to Christ. They would have taken somebody and have shown them the Scriptures, have prayed with them. They have led them along the way, and somebody got saved because of their influence, because of their guidance, because of their way of life. Not only will they lead them to Christ, but they will make a Christian as he is. They'll make him a Christian. They'll make him a Christian because they will show him what a Christian is through the Word of God. They will work with him. They will pray with him. They'll go by and see him. They will visit him. They'll go pick him up. They'll drop him off. They'll buy him lunch. They'll buy him dinner. They'll buy him cards. They will do everything and anything to see them walk that Christian life. They will see him along the way. They don't win him to Christ and say, okay, now, you know, you're on your own. That's not what a father is. A father's not one who says, I'm going to lead you to Christ. Now you got to go to church and find a pastor. That's not one either. Tonight is one who will lead somebody to Christ, one who will make them a Christian, but then takes them to make others. In other words, they'll have children, and then when you have spiritual children, and then when they go and tell somebody about Jesus like you told them, they become saved, and now you become a grandfather. Then somebody like that takes that and goes win somebody else to Christ, and now you become a great-great-grandfather. You see what I'm saying? This is maturity. Not everybody's in this one. Not everybody's in the growing one, but everybody's in the baby one. So we find maturity here, fathers. Winning people to Christ, teaching people, discipling them, teaching them how to win others to Christ, and then watch your family just grow. I know what you're probably thinking. That's a pyramid, brother. That's like old Amway. That's like that old place, that other Mary Kay. Mary Kay, right? The pink car? Is that right, Mary Kay? Okay. The pyramids. You're doing pyramids now. I'm just telling you. Paul said this in verse 14. I write not these things to you, shame you, but as my beloved sons. Who's his sons? The ones that he led to Christ. Ones that he brought up. And ones that he... What a father does with his children, right? What a mother does with their children. Raise them. See, that's what maturity is tonight when we get to a place so much that we want to see sinners saved so bad that we do whatever it takes to get them saved, and then we'll raise them up. And then we'll teach them how. And we'll show them how. So they can go out and tell somebody else about Jesus. And just keeps on going. That's maturity tonight. Amen? Amen, brother. That's right. I've heard that before. No doubt notice that they're spiritual children, but there's spiritual conversation. He says in verse 14, I warn you. See, only a father can warn a son. Only a father who has led him to Christ, and a father who has made him a Christian, and a father who takes him to make others tonight, confronts them with the truth. Right? So we find a spiritual conversation. And maturity is when you can speak spiritual truth in the way of confrontation. Right? So you confront. It takes maturity to do that. I can confront you with the truth. Number two, once I confront you with the truth, I can correct you with love. That's maturity. Confront with truth, correct with love, and then continue with encouragement. That's maturity. Now, when you get a baby trying to confront with truth, you got a mess. Right? And then you got somebody that's not in the growth stage, and they're trying to correct people. That gets even worse. It's only those that are spiritually mature, called fathers, that can go and confront those children and say, this is the truth. This is the correction. And come on, may encourage you. And we're going to continue to walk with God. That's maturity. Have you ever done that before? Brother, that's the pastor's job. That's his job to go out here and win them to Christ. It's his job to disciple them on Sunday mornings in the fellowship hall. It's his job to lead them along the way and to teach them how to win others to Christ. I'm just a member. I'm just coming to church. I'm here just to know Jesus. I'm here to hear God's Word. Man, listen, no, you're more than that according to John. John puts you in categories, in stages. Baby stage, growing stage, mature stage. And that maturity is the spiritual children, spiritual conversation, then lastly, their spiritual character. He says in verse 16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Man. So Paul is saying to be a spiritual father is that you're going to be the example. You're going to be the pattern. You're going to be the very mode. You're going to be the one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said like this. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." In other words, he's saying, so it's not Paul, but Christ in Paul. And here's the whole truth. Mature Christians or mature fathers tonight will be ones who will say, "Listen, you follow me, but really not me, but Christ in me. And I am the mode, I am the example, I am the one that you look to, and you can just follow me. And as I follow Christ, you follow me, and as you see Christ in me, you follow me." Amen? That's what every one of us tonight who are mature, who are Christians, or who are spiritually mature, ought to be telling everyone else tonight in our church and everyone else around us, "Follow me." Amen? But you know what most people do? Don't follow me. Don't look to me. I'm just an old sinner. Don't look to me. I make a lot of mistakes. Don't look to me. I'm not the one. Oh, no, I'm not the one to look up. I'm not the one to be the leader here. Somebody else is. But Fred, you are mistaken tonight. Being spiritually mature is you're the pattern and the mold, and you're the example, and you are to be followed, imitated. Imitated. How dangerous and shameful it is for you to tell anybody not to live like you live. You're just dead wrong. Now, if you're not living for Christ, then you're dead right. But for being spiritually mature, they ought to be able to look at you and say, "That's the roadmap to be a Christian." That right there. Hey, that person right there. If you want to know what a Christian is in 2022, boom. That one is. That's the mature stage. Can I say to you tonight, are you mature? Are you the mature Christian? Can we look at to you and say, "Hey, that one there is the example." Lead others to Christ. Christians being discipled. You disciple them. Disciples following you. If you're not tonight, why not? What's the problem? Society? Children? What's wrong? He's speaking to you tonight. Can I say here lastly tonight, there's the childish stage. Let's look back into our text in 1 John chapter 2. There's that word again of those words called little children. And those words are there in verse 13. In the last portion, it says, "I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." And so tonight we know that word little children there, if you look it up, it means a childling. A childling. It means an infant. It means half grown or immature. So this stage right here, this childish stage, is an immature Christian. We know that he's talking to Christians because he said, "Because you have known the Father." And so that puts us into the category of the first little children, that you are born one. Because it says that in verse 12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for you. For your sins, for your name's sake." And so we find that you're in the baby stage, but you're still in the childish stage. You're not in the growing stage. You're definitely not in the mature stage. You're in the childish stage. You're in that little children down in verse 13. And And the best that you are is that you're saved. Now, it meaning tonight that you're immature child of God. An immature child of God. It means tonight as well, it means an abnormal child of God. Because growing is not normal. And this little child here is still an infant. And there's no growth going on. So it's abnormal. That's not even common. Abnormal. It means tonight, undeveloped. Undeveloped children of God. Now there's probably reasons why that those people who are in this stage, the childish stage, why they're undeveloped or why they're immature or why tonight they're not normal or abnormal. Number one, because in order for you to become mature and grow, you have to have food. Right? And so what is the lack of for those that are immature or undeveloped is the food for spiritual. We're talking about spiritual tonight. And what is that? The Word of God. Right? So the immature don't read Jude. Don't read James. And don't read 1 John. That's not their thing. They don't come to church regularly. And they don't take the Word of God seriously. They live a life of where the Word of God is secondary. It's not that important. It's a food like a substitute. Or maybe the Word of God to them is not a food, but what is the word you take that like you take herbs or you take some other like turmeric? What is that called? Supplements. So the Word of God to them is a supplement. It's not a food. You can't live on supplements, right? But they try to. They just supplement the Word of God. When they come in on Sunday morning, usually it's when they come, then they get the Word of God. They get a supplement that morning. And when they leave out and they read everything but the Word of God. But when they get on Facebook, they say, oh, isn't God good? And they get on a Twitter and they get on all these other social medias and they say, boy, God is good. God's been good to me. Man, shut up. Man, you're on supplements. Man, you're not even eating food. That's why you're immature. That's why you're undeveloped. That's why you're abnormal. So it takes food. They have the lack of the Word of God in their life. Number two, you know what it takes out besides food? It takes air. Right? In order for you to grow normally and for you to develop, it takes air. You ever tried to not grow without air? You're not going to grow very long. Right? So what is air? Well, the word Holy Spirit tonight, word Spirit means breath or it means air. So tonight they have the lack of the Holy Spirit. Because in our lives there's sin. And it quenches and grieves the Spirit of God. So without this air, without this Spirit, without this breath, tonight they'll never grow and they'll always be abnormal and they'll be undeveloped. Because the Spirit of God in all the where they go is always grieved. It's always quenched. There's no working in their lives. There's no power in their lives. There's no happening in their lives. It's just a dull. It's just unpleasing. They can't enjoy the world because God don't let them do that. But they can't enjoy the church either because God don't let them do that as well. So they're just miserable people living their life. But they're undeveloped and they're abnormal and they are immature. But the third thing that you're going to have to take is not only food and air. But I could just see tonight as you think about these immature people, you may know some of them, but it takes the sun, right? It takes light. So if you don't have light, you don't find much growth, right? You ever see anybody just stay in the house all the time? No, you got to go outside. Light. Well, that takes the Son of God. And friend, whenever you are undeveloped and you are one who's abnormal, you'll find that Jesus Christ is not the theme and thrill of their life. Jesus Christ is not the purpose of why they're here. Jesus Christ is not the reason why they go. Jesus Christ is not the excitement of their heart. Jesus Christ is not necessary for their life on a daily basis. He's not their God. He's not their life. He's not what to maybe to somebody who's mature, somebody who's growing. Jesus isn't that. Now they're saved, but they're just undeveloped because they have no light or the lack of light. They have the lack of food. They have the lack of air. But then they have the lack of walk. I mean, you're not going to mature unless you get out and get exercise. Right? Walk. And so so walk would mean the work of God. And so they don't have no walk. They don't have no exercise. They're not doing the work of God. All they do is come to church, sit down, rob God, halfway sing the songs, don't hardly listen to the Scripture, leave out of here as cold and dead as they come in, and go about in the world and get on Facebook and tell them how good God is. They're not doing nothing for God. They're not doing nothing for the economy of God. They're not doing nothing for heaven. They're not doing nothing for the sinner. They're not doing nothing for the missionary. They're not doing anything for the work of God. There's no exercise in their lives at all. Right? There's no muscle. There's no tone. They are lack of air, their lack of food, their lack of walk, their lack of the light or the sun. You can't be but abnormal, right? Without all these things. And lastly, I noticed that they have the lack of care. The church of God. They lack fellowship with God's people. They lack fellowship with God. They lack coming to church and hearing the Scriptures and hearing the Word of God, the teaching of God's Word. The Bible says the only way that you're going to be perfected or completed is through a pastor. Well, they don't put themselves under the authority of a pastor. They don't place themselves under the commitment of a church. They're here, there, yonder. They go to the Dear Leafs more than they go to the church. They go down to watch the Astros more than they come to the house of God. They'll do a lot of things. They'll go to birthday parties. They'll go to marriages. And they go to all kind of anniversaries. And they'll do this. They'll do that. And I bet you they go to the movies more than they come to the house of God. I'm just saying tonight that there is no care in their life because there's no church of God in their life. And so we find them to be abnormal. We find them to be undeveloped, and we find them to be a place of immaturity. So that you're in the childish stage tonight because you're still in the basics. Now you can be saved for 30 years and be right here. You're still on the milk. You're still on a roller coaster to and fro, in here and out. You're still in the childish play. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." What stage are you in? Are you in this immature stage? Are you in this mature stage? Are you in this growing stage? Or are you in the baby stage? Where are you at today? What stage do you want to be in? What's the next move for you? Are you going to just be happier where you're at? Are you just satisfied? Or tonight, is there some other stage you want to move to? I would pray tonight that every single one of us would want to be in that mature stage. God help us tonight. Thank you, John, for writing out of 1 John, giving us who you're writing to. Babies, children, mature, are growing. Whatever stage you're in is how this will affect you. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And as we're about to come pray tonight, maybe there's someone that needs to have a prayer request of some type. Anybody? Anyone? Yeah, brother.